There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Okay, so they are a brave council and a council that is going to tell you all the reasons why it's not their job to decide who reads stories at the Mobile Public Library. It is the Mobile City Council. It is how we start today's Midday Mobile. Live local talk over the next couple of hours. You and I hanging out. Phone number 343-0106. Also the text line, same number, 343-0106. If you're listening on your smartphone, if you want to do it that way, the TuneIn Radio app, free, great app, works for Android or iPhone. Download that and get to listening on your smartphone. Also on your desktop, fmtalk1065.com. And reminder, if something happens over the next 2 hours of the show you would like to listen to again, share with somebody, all our live local hours of radio, which are a bunch here every week at FM Talk 106.5, you can grab those on our podcast page that's an inset on the front page of our website, fmtalk1065.com. So there you go. Lots of ways to hear it and lots to hear today as Mobile City Council meeting addressing the drag queen story time that's slated for September 8th at the Ben May branch of the Mobile Public Library. Mobile County Commission dealt with this yesterday. Today, it was the City Council's turn. And first of all, we'll start off with those who had signed up to speak out against having this happen at the Mobile Public Library. People saying against having drag queen story time. We'll begin with Pastor Fred Wolf.
So I want to address something that's very important to a great number of people in Mobile, and that is the coming of the Drag Queen Story Hour at the public library. I've got about two things I want to say about that, but in preparation for it, let me say that back in the late 70s or early 80s, Ishmael Jaffrey filed a suit against the city of Mobile, or the public school system, that stopped the reading of the Bible and prayer in that school. Well, the people of Mobile rallied together. We took it to court and won the suit. And the suit was this, that humanism is a religion. Now, it's basically humanism that is taught in our colleges and universities. Most of the books that are in the public schools have a humanistic thing. And humanism is a kind name for atheism. Humanism makes this in Humanist Manifesto 1. No deity will save us. We must save ourselves. So basically they're saying we need to get God out of the way. But the second thing that goes into this drag queen story hour is the fact that in this thing, in the manifesto number 2, it says that there are no moral absolutes. The whole manifesto is based on situational ethics. The situation determines if it's right. The situation determines it's wrong. It goes on to say that any sexual activity between two consenting adults is certainly in bounds and nothing is out of bounds. Now, it all started there. Now, here we are in Mobile having a man dressed up as a woman coming to address our children ages 3 through 8 on a lifestyle that is totally not acceptable. Now, I know they're talking about diversity and embracing the whole culture, but it's much deeper than that. And one of the books that the drag queen is going to read from, Estella Keeps Her Family. It's a story about a little girl that has two fathers, and she has to decide which father she's going to take to the event at school. Now, that's subtle, But the little boy goes, the little girl goes home. Mom says, why'd she have two fathers? Because I guess they were married. Well, I didn't know two men married. And so it is a subtle thing. Let me say it. I know I have limited time. It all started. Now, remember where this started. San Francisco, right after the same-sex marriage approval was voted, a drag queen named Little Miss Fancy decided to plan these things and had a movement and an organization to have story queen hour, drag queen story hours all across the United States. They've been in 40 states. Most of them are very liberal states. But now they're meeting a great deal of opposition, not only in Mobile, but in Houston and Louisiana. Number one, it is wrong to use a public forum like the library for this drag stream Corey Hour, because the library gives it credibility. In other words, the library's a safe place. The library's a good place for children. It's a good place to bring your family. But the library is a public facility, and it gives it credibility. Number two, they do have an agenda. It's a nationwide agenda, and it is to say the alternate lifestyle, LGBTQ, is an acceptable lifestyle, and that we need to approve it, and we need to be for it, and not be against it. Well, we cannot do that. The Bible teaches clearly that sex outside of marriage, except sex outside the union of a man and a woman in the covenant of marriage, is a sin. And so here we are. They're going to teach our children about a lifestyle that is sinful. And so therefore we say, well, what do we do? Silence means agreement. So we come to say that this is not an acceptable lifestyle. In God's word, it says it's a sin. I know I have about 30 seconds. Has the bell rang one time?
Yes.
All right, okay. Don't take those seconds off right there. If I was driving down the road and I saw that the bridge was out, and I'd say, well, you know, if they drive off in that gully, that cliff, they're going to die. But I said, well, you know, but they'll stop. They'll stop. So I just pulled over the side of the road and did nothing. And so here comes a car going about 80 miles an hour and runs off the bridge. Hey, let me say this. I should have warned him of the danger.
Pastor,
I should have warned him of the danger. And the failure not to warn them, I did not get to do.
Pastor,
so I'm just warning us of the danger.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, so there was statements from Pastor Fred Wolf, and then Lisa Strong spoke second here. By the way, and we are going to get, we'll get this played, and then we will also get into the comments of Scott Kenny from the Mobile Public Library, director of members of the City Council that had lots of stuff to say about why this was not their purview. Next, let's cut to Lisa Strong here.
My name is Lisa Strong. I am a mother, a sister, and a wife, and a native Mobilian most of my life. The reason I'm here today is because of a matter that's very heavy on my heart. Upon finding out about the Drag Queen Story Hour at the Mobile Public Library, I became greatly disturbed and saddened. I thought to myself, the pastors will speak out. The politicians will speak out. Somebody will speak out. Somebody will do something. The next morning, I read a favorite devotion of mine. It's a woman's devotion. It paraphrases Psalm 101 and Psalm 10. I'd like to read a portion of it now. It said, "My daughter, guard against the wickedness that is flooding this present day with obscenities and sexual filth." It's taken out of Psalms from the beginning of time, very relevant to today's standards. It said, "Take a stand." And I quote, "for my children, because they are helpless and weak." So you see, after reading this, I had no other choice than to take a stand. We all have choices. We're a world of choices. We're flooded with choices. But today, I have chosen to take a stand for the children of Mobile County. I come from a family of proud Americans. My grandfather came over to Ellis Island from Italy. He became an American citizen and fought in World War I. He received the Purple Heart. My father fought in World War II. and was on the Missouri when they signed the surrender that ended that war. My nephew is a Marine. Once a Marine, always a Marine. He fought two tours in Iraq. And I stand before you proudly to say they both came home safely, thank God. I've always been taught in life that you have to pick your battles. And so today, City Council, I graciously stand before you that I have picked my battle. And it's not a battle of hatred, and it's not a battle of small-mindedness. It's just time to take a stand for God. So I just happen to be an American Christian woman who is tired of seeing a systematic removal of everything that is moral that our founding fathers have fought for. So as I stand before you here with legs shaking, just as a mother and just as a wife, I have no grandchildren yet, but and my family won't be affected by this, but scores of children will. But just and excuse me as I but as I stand here before you and say we've always been a nation of diversity since the beginning of this great nation, but we've also been a nation formed under Almighty God. So as I stand before you today, members of the City Council, on behalf of our most vulnerable citizens of Mobile County, specifically children ages 3 to 8 years old, I plead on your behalf, each of you, to examine your hearts and examine your mind and do what's right for the children of this city. In closing, I'm reminded of a song by Matthew West. And the song, I would encourage you to listen to it, is called Do Something. Prior to coming here, the song played over and over in my mind. And I'd like to read in closing what it says. And it says, if not me, then who? And God said, I created you. So I guess this last minute, I'll just wing it, if that's okay.
All right. So the comments there of Lisa Strong, we'll come back. We'll get comments from members of the City Council, also the director of the library. And then in the second half of the hour, we're going to talk to John Sharp. He was at both the Mobile County Commission meeting and the City Council meeting. And we'll get his take on it as well. All right. Coming right back. Oh, no, you can't. You can't play this. Don't. No. All right, 12:18. We're coming right back. Go to the news next.
My mama told me when I was young, we're all on superstars. She rolled my hair, put my lipstick on, in a glass of purple dry. There's nothing wrong with loving who you are, she said, cause you made your perfect babe. So hold your head up, girl, and you'll go far.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, right back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. And get back to Mobile City Council meeting today. As you heard, commentary from Pastor Fred Wolf and Lisa Strong, both in opposition to the Drag Queen Story Hour. I'll point out there's probably a mix of opinions out there. Like on most things, there's probably plenty of people that are against this. There are some people, I guess, that are for it. And there's probably a lot of people that are just like, eh, eh, eh. Who knows? Who knows? How this happened, how the scenario was laid out for the Mobile Public Library, and how we are, how they judge what does and does not happen at the Mobile Public Library. Here's that from Library Director Scott Kenny.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have with us Mr. Scott Kenny. Mr. Kenny is the Executive Director of our Mobile Public Library system. I want to make it clear. I'm sure some of you all were at the County Commission meeting on yesterday, and we thank you for coming here today to express your sentiments. These are decisions that this administration nor the council had a hand in. We don't necessarily have purview over, but the gentleman that does happens to be here. And we're going to ask Mr. Kennedy, if you don't mind, would you come and just express any sentiments you would like to express from the library system, the library board, relative to what we've heard here today?
And I'm Scott Kinney, the executive director of the Mobile Public Library. Do you need my address as an employee?
Yes, sir, if you don't
okay.
mind.
My address is 5317 Isabel Way South, Mobile, Alabama. I'm employed by the library board of directors that is appointed by the city council, and they set the policy as a citizens board, a volunteer citizens board for the Mobile Public Library. Our meeting room policy is what is that question here. It's a First Amendment right because we are what's called a limited public forum because we are a government building. All groups have the right to use our meeting rooms if we are open to the public, and we open our meeting rooms to the public. And because of that, it's a First Amendment issue. We don't have a choice. Our policies are reviewed by council, and I did speak with City Attorney Ricardo Woods about this, and he did agree in this instance that this is a First Amendment issue. I do appreciate everyone's sentiments and the right to have voice your concerns. That's what makes America great, and that's why we have the First Amendment and freedom of speech. It is a very difficult issue at hand here because it is very polarizing on both sides, but what it boils down to the library and the library board is we want our meeting rooms free and open to the public because they are paid for by tax dollars, and we want the most people to use them. We've had over 1,200 meeting room uses this year with over 16,000 people, almost 17,000 people using them this year alone. And that's just for outside groups. That's not counting any of the actual library programming that is done. And I do want to emphasize, this is an outside group that is presenting this program. It is not the library. We are not co-sponsoring it. We are not providing any funds to it other than the electrical of keeping the building open. That would be open anyways because we're open on Saturdays anyways.
All right. So there's comments from the library director, Scott Kenny. Councilman John Williams next.
I could continue with the question to our council, and that is, does the city council, Mobile, even through a board, have the right to close a facility or deny access if it is a public facility?
No, sir.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, that was additional counsel that was present. He also went on to say.
And did you seek his advice on how to proceed? Because you said that it was the board that set policy, but this is really not about policy. It's about law, isn't it?
Correct.
Okay.
And when we adopt a policy, all library policies, our entire policy manual goes under review, and that policy was reviewed by legal counsel at the time that it was adopted by the library board.
Yeah, and I'm talking about recently, though.
Recently, I had a phone call from Ricardo Woods asking about the situation. We did discuss it, and he concurred what I thought. Based off of our policy and conversations we had for developing our policy manual, that if we open our library meeting rooms to the public, we cannot discriminate against any group. We have to have it open for all.
All right. So, I mean, that gets back to what we've been talking about for weeks here, right? This is a question of whether a government group, whether you like it or not, a government group can limit this conversation. Does it fall under the scope to where they can? County Commission says it's not in their purview. City Council is now saying it's not in their purview. The mayor's office has said the same thing. Here's more on the legal opinion.
Well, first of all, let me say that a legal opinion is a formal document in writing based on a stated set of facts. So to the extent that the lawyers are having discussion here, everyone needs to understand that this is not a formal legal opinion. I haven't reviewed the policy. I haven't been presented with anything. But based on what I know right now, the library has a policy that meeting rooms are available for people to reserve, and that the library does not decide whether your purpose for using the meeting room is worthy or not. And I don't see how you could have any other policy, because then you would have to have, I guess, a censorship board. And I don't think that's allowed. So, you know, it's a policy applied in a non-discriminatory manner, and it is subject to First Amendment. It is a limited public forum, which is a term of art in First Amendment jurisprudence. And so I don't know, I haven't heard any solutions proposed, so it's kind of hard. I mean, if all that's being asked is for a personal opinion about whether you approve of this or not, I mean, that's different than saying we need to have a policy prohibiting people from talking about subjects that we don't want to hear about.
And there's one of the arguments boiled down, right? Is this all about, that First Amendment protection, how many times have we said it, is not there to protect popular speech. It's there to protect unpopular speech, which I don't think you have to look far and wide, or when we come back, listen to the comments of the members of the city council. They'll all tell you that they don't approve of it. But is it something that is in, number one, their purview? In other words, is there a mechanism? I think it's a fair way to talk about it, right? Is there a mechanism where they could, if they deemed that they wanted to stop this drag queen story hour, if they wanted to stop it, is there a method they could do it? All right. Travis says this. So, hey, Sean, with the library, welcome an NRA spokesperson to teach the children the importance of guns and their many uses. And with the library board, defend as a First Amendment and Second Amendment. What do you think the public outcry would be? I don't think it would. Travis, I would hope it wouldn't be. And I know that NRA programs with Eddie the Eagle and all that have spoken to children's groups in the past about gun safety. I'm a big proponent of that. I think under what we have heard right now discussed, I don't know that the library would have any way to, from what I've heard from the commentary of the library director and legal counsel here, and the legal counsel says, once again, I'm going to double down for them, they're not rendering a full legal opinion, it's just their reaction to hearing, that there's nothing in their code. In other words, they don't have the mechanism to deny, nor does the library, except in very specific circumstances. So, Travis, I would think, and it would be a good thing, why don't we do it to prove that you can do it, and it would be a good thing to have somebody from NRA talking to kids about guns. I would take my kid to that, for sure. All right, come back. We can grab some calls. We're going to get more clips. It gets really, really good. Some of the best commentary I've heard from Councilman Fred Richardson in a long time, maybe on the greatest hits. We'll get to that coming up. And also, John Sharp's going to join us in a little bit. We'll talk about this when we come back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
By the way, just to show my age, at the same, very oddly, showing my age and immaturity at the same time. Every time I hear our buddy Randy Bergen talk about that hitting golf balls from your knees there to build your golf game, I can't help but picturing Dorf on golf. Remember Harvey Korman and Dorf on right, I know. I'm an old guy, but still, watching that makes me grin. All right, 1236 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. It was Mobile County Commission yesterday. Today, Mobile City Council discussing drag queen story time slated for September 8th at the Mobile Public Library. You know, I'm part of this, and we're going to get discussion in the last segment here, but is it not enough just not to attend, or is it something that needs to be stopped from happening? Right, so comments on this. Mobile City Councilman Joel Daves up first.
Our founders understood that whenever government acts to limit speech, they do so with the stated purpose of protecting the people, when the real purpose is to quiet disturbing and irritating voices. It is only controversial, offensive, even immoral speech that requires protection. Our founders understood that the truth is most likely to emerge from a marketplace of ideas that is open and robust. Our founders understood that the quickest way to lose your own rights is to deny them to someone else. So, Mr. Vice President, I will not prevaricate or abandon the principles our founders fought and in many cases bled and died for, those same principles men and women fight for today. Those who have spoken to us today have a constitutionally guaranteed right to speak to us in a public space, opposing the provision of public spaces for the Drag Queen Story Hour. They have a right to assemble peaceably on September 8th, to further voice that opposition. But this government has no more right to prevent Rainbow Mobile from exercising its First Amendment rights than we would have preventing those who are here today from exercising that same right. Thank you, Mr. Vice President.
All right. So Mobile City Councilman Joel Daves talking about the right of one versus the, you know, the freedom of speech of one being something that is, number one, for unpopular speech. Number two, if you limit for one, then where does that sliding scale move? Where do you end up saying this is okay and this is not? There have been constraints. To think that there's not, there have been constraints put on First Amendment rights in this country, but they got to be pretty extreme. Is this extreme? Councilman Fred Richardson comments.
What's going to happen at the library is wrong, but it's not legally wrong. It's morally wrong. It's not legally wrong now, because it's nothing against, there's no law against reading the children. I don't care who has done the reading. There's no law. There's no stature against reading. So the city can't get involved because they're not breaking any law. Talking about lifestyles, you might attack the Mars. That's a failure of the church. The city can't enforce Mars. We got these kids walking down with the pants on. We can't do nothing about that. If I told you a lie, the city can't arrest me for lying. I can lie whenever I get ready to lie. It's morally wrong to lie, because the Bible says, "Thou shalt not bear false witnesses." It's in the Bible. There is a moral wrong. There's a legal wrong. We can't enforce. You're asking the city to enforce what you believe to be is morally wrong. That's what the churches ought to be doing, to the purpose of preaching the gospel. To convert the heart of those that we believe to be morally wrong.
Takeaway there. One of my big takeaways, there's no law against reading. All right, I've taken that from the no law against reading. So if kids try to use that during the summertime when they have summer reading, there's no law against reading. Mobile City Councilman Fred Richardson goes on to make some comparisons here on things that have been allowed in the city in the past.
A couple of years ago, the Comet Cowboys had a parade down public streets of City Mobile. They had obscenity, had all kinds of stuff up there, denigrating our citizens. So I came back to this body here to say, let's pass a law because they're on city streets, and let's stop the Comet Cowboys from bringing little children are standing out there, parents out there with the children with all of this stuff on these floats. Attorney gave us his legal opinion. Is guaranteed in the First Amendment of the United States.
Unpopular speech. Yeah, interesting. A comparison there from what the Comet Cowboys did to Drag Queen Storytime. Is there a fair comparison? Those that rallied around First Amendment rights for the Comet Cowboys, will they rally around the rights of Rainbow Mobile and the Drag Queen Story, is it time or hour? Drag Queen Story Hour, something like that. Let's go to more comments here from Councilman Fred Richardson.
Freedom of speech and freedom of expression is guaranteed, and no state would vote for the Constitution until they put the Bill of Rights in. They would not vote for the U.S. Constitution as proposed until they had the Bill of Rights. And the first one, Article 1, freedom of speech, freedom of expression, and freedom of religion. Do you think the atheists want religious people up in the library? No. Do you think religious people want the atheist people in the library? No.
So there you go. All right, we grabbed some calls on this, and there are a couple other things. If we can get them cut up, Dalton, I do want to, maybe it'll be on tomorrow's show, but the commentary going back and forth about keeping your children at home, you can see I'm offering some Mobile City Council words of wisdom on the text line, I mean on my Twitter feed at FM Talk 1065 on Twitter. We'll just keep this going. It's a hashtag Mobile City Council words of wisdom. So number one, there's no law against reading. Also, keep your children at home. These things are maybe things we could even get crocheted you know, on a throw pillow for the couch. They're just, you know, words of wisdom, something to put on a little happy sign to have there at the office or something like that. All right, yeah, we'll grab a couple calls, run the news break, and we're going to take quite a few more calls. So y'all hold on at 343-0106. Joe is in Mobile, and he's first up. Hey, Joe. Okay, we'll put Joe on hold. Something's weird. Bob is in Mobile. He's up next.
Hey, I have a question. I thought that the First Amendment protected political speech so that you couldn't be dragged out of the courtyard when you're talking or railing against the government. Is a transgender, transsexual person dressed in drag, is that reading to children, is that protected political speech?
I would imagine, yeah, and the reading to children thing, I keep going back to this, that's only people who would take their children there. It's not like this would be a slam dunk to me if it was compulsory. You know what I'm saying? If they were coming to school.
I absolutely understand that, but I'm talking about the ideal of, is this protected political speech?
Well, Congress makes no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. So, you know, are all those things defined? This is, you know, this is where the constitutional scholars, you know, make their checks, I guess. Do all the things that precede and petition the government for redress of grievances, are they all modified by that last line? In other words, all those things you do, are they only there to petition the government? Or are they your right to speech or the press? You know, that's a question that I think they bounce around in legal schools and legal circles. And, I mean, it just depends on how you come down on that. I mean, there's a lot of unpopular speech out there that, you know, I shake my head, but I say, you know, that's protected First Amendment speech. I guess not all of it's political. I mean, you can look at what they've tried to do with regulating pornography and things like that. They say, you know, local standards and those kind of things. But nationally, they don't really have a standard, other than some real extreme cases, obviously.
Boy, this is muddy water.
Yeah.
Really muddy water.
Yeah, that's why, hey, man, that's why the attorneys make money, right?
Wait, yeah. Don't get me started on attorneys.
Bob, appreciate the call, man. Thank you. Let me run to, let's go to Donnie in Chunchula. What's up, Donnie?
Hey, Sean, been a while since I spoke with you, but I had some things going on medically, and I'm doing well now. But,
well, good news.
I want to put my 2 cents in worth in on the whatever that thing is.
The Drag Queen Story Hour.
Yeah. Baggett Story Hour. Anyway.
Oh, come on, man.
It is at the public library, right?
Yes.
And public means it's open to everybody, right?
Correct.
I want to make an invitation. I want to invite every born-again Christian that believes the Bible is right and true. We got to give this fella his, whatever he is, his due day is freedom of speech. I go along with that. But it's a public library, and it's free, and every Christian in Mobile County can go down there and listen to it, too, I guess.
Well, they're planning a protest. There's a couple different groups planning protest on September 8th down at the library. The Common Sense folks, Tea Party folks are, I think, outside of that, different churches, different Christian groups are. So there's going to be people, at least the way I understand it, already planning a protest.
What time is the little...
I don't know that. We'll find out when it's supposed to start here during the break, and when I come back from the break, I'll let you know. How about that?
Okay, buddy. Thanks. I appreciate your show.
Hey, no problem.
The Anchor Cross Foundation.
That's right. We have not talked about them in a long time. They are an amazing, amazing group, and we need to bring their story back up again, and Donnie's story as well. What great folks they are. Y'all Google that. You got a second today, in amongst all this other stuff. Anchor Cross and what they're doing for folks dealing with cancer right here in Mobile and Baldwin counties and outside Mobile and Baldwin counties, but local stuff. Great, great group. All right, coming right back, more of Midday Mobile, and we'll grab your calls. Stay on the line.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, we'll get those calls, 343-0106, 343-0106 is also the text line. right, this texter says, unnamed texter, if the citizens of Mobile do not want a drag queen reading to their children, then there will not be any children to read to. Eventually, the individual will tire of sitting in a room by themselves and not reserve the space again. But if people show up and do attend and participate in the drag queen book reading, then it shows that members of the community and the library want the individual there. By the way, 10 a.m. We got a call about the protest. We'll be at 10 a.m. That is a week from Saturday. So Saturday the 8th, which, I mean, you'd like to go to the protest, but that's, I mean, it's going to be tough. That's opening day of North Zone dove season. So what are you going to do? You're going to make your choices, though. Tara says, drag queens and transgender people are totally different things. Why can't people see it? Drag queens do it for performance and entertainment. Transgender people live their daily life as another sex, totally different things. Well, Tara, I just got to say, though, they are, if you're looking at the nomenclature, they are billing it as Drag Queen Story Hour. That's how the organizers do. While Bill says, just because it's legally okay doesn't make it morally so. All right. I'll grab a few more of these. And there's someone here saying, David says, if no one shows up to hear the reading, the drag queen goes home, the end. That's part of the mentality, right? Let's go to North Baldwin. Steve's in Bay Minette. Hey, man.
Hey. I wonder if there is some sort of library policy or bylaw that talk about moral or have some issues with morals within the library. And so that would be something I would be interested in looking at. But then I also have a question, can they have strippers reading while dancing, and if they have people with guns reading, having a gun is your Second Amendment,
right?
But I know there's been some recent laws or things from Obama where you can't have laws in schools and stuff. I mean, you can't have guns in schools and so forth. So I just wonder if there's, first of all, any kind of policy that prevents morally objectionable content within the library itself.
Okay. Well, I mean, I would, and this is, although we did hear from the director earlier in the show, played that clip from the city council meeting where he's kind of talking. If we got time, we may play that again. But let me kind of go through. I know for effect, you're saying, okay, the stripper doing the reading. I would imagine the way I see this, if the clothes didn't come off, which would violate the nudity or public indecency or whatever the thing is, I think they would be fine under what I hear is the public library policy. So if they wanted to read and twirl around or do whatever, as long as the clothes stayed on. And for the gun portion of it, I got a check for open carry. I don't know that situation, but for me, I may or may not conceal carry, and I would have no second thought on keeping my concealed weapon on me inside the library. If I ever had a gun, I probably don't.
Right.
Probably don't even have one. So, I mean, that part, and somebody said earlier, I think it was Travis saying, what about the NRA coming out and doing something? I think that would be great, and I don't see anything like Eddie the Eagle and the NRA stuff that speaks to kids about gun safety. I think that would be a great event to have at the library.
Sean, I do have a question. What is the purpose of them coming to read the kids? I mean, I feel like there's probably an agenda.
Oh, sure, it's an agenda. Sure, it's agenda-driven. It's nationally. It's been around the country. Now it's starting to hit the South. It's been pushed back in Houston, and they're fighting against it in Lafayette, Louisiana, and now here. This has been a movement, I guess, to get kids to see people looking differently. And, people get obsessed with whether the people are gay or straight. You could have somebody who is gay reading to kids, and there's no reason for the kids to know that, right? I mean, they could be dressed as a man or a woman. It's not something you have somebody who's going to come read to the kids. Good. There shouldn't be any discussion of who does what. That's grown-up stuff, I'll go back through. If I get a chance, I'll play the audio again from the library director where they kind of lay out what the policy is. All right?
Thanks, Sean.
Hey, no problem. Leaves the line open at 343-0106, 343-0106. By the way, too, John Sharp, who was at both the meeting with the he's going to be free here in a second. He was at the meeting with the Mobile County Commission where this was discussed yesterday, also at today's city council meeting, and we'll get his insight from being there and watching the whole show. And I got to tell you, I mean, bit of a show. laid out there. All right, can we get the... okay, let's do this. So, good question. Let's go back to the audio of the library director. Here is Scott Kenny.
And do you...
Okay, well, let's skip forward.
Love to answer any...
All right, we get... Go right to the... Is this the first...
Ladies and gentlemen...
Isn't he on the...
Ladies and gentlemen...
Isn't he on the...
We have with... had a hand in. We don't necessarily have purview over, but the gentleman that does happens to be here. And we're going to ask Mr. Kenny, if you don't mind, would you come and just express any sentiments you would like to express from the library system, the library board, relative to what we've heard here today?
And I'm Scott Kenny, the executive director of the Mobile Public Library. Do you need my address as an employee?
Yes, sir, if you don't
mind. My address is...
All right, we can skip that. We can skip that part and just get right to it here.
Mobile Public Library. Our meeting room policy is, what is that question here? It's a First Amendment right because we are what's called a limited public forum because we are a government building. All groups have the right to use our meeting rooms if we are open to the public and we open our meeting rooms to the public. And because of that, it's a First Amendment issue. We don't have a choice. Our policies are reviewed by council, and I did speak with City Attorney Ricardo Woods about this, and he did agree in this instance that this is a First Amendment issue. I do appreciate everyone's sentiments and the right to have voice your concerns. That's what makes America great, and that's why we have the First Amendment and freedom of speech. It is a very difficult issue at hand here because it is very polarizing on both sides. But what it boils down to the library and the library board is we want our meeting rooms free and open to the public because they are paid for by tax dollars, and we want the most people to use them. We've had over 1,200 meeting room uses this year with over 16,000 people, almost 17,000 people using them this year alone. And that's just for outside groups. That's not counting any of the actual library programming that is done. Now, I do want to emphasize this is an outside group that is presenting this program. It is not the library. We are not co-sponsoring it. We are not providing any funds to it other than the electrical of keeping the building open. That would be open anyways because we're open on Saturdays anyways. I know that's tough for this group to hear, and I do, again, appreciate all your concerns, but for us, it is a free speech issue. If we let one group use the library, we let all groups use the library. We've had faith-based groups use the library in the past, and this year we've had Bible studies. We've even had a church who started their church using our West Mobile meeting room every Sunday for almost 7 months. So we are sensitive to everyone's needs, and that's all we're trying to be, is sensitive to everyone's needs. But it is hard because everyone does have different opinions.
All right, so there it is. There's the library director's take on it. John Sharp from AL.com. He was at both meetings, and he joins us next right here on Midday Mobile.